What do you think of a $20,000 bathtub? Built-in closets costing nearly $500,000. A $35,000 conference table. A $1.1 million landscaped garden. A fitness room larger than an apartment. And a personal chapel. And what do you think of a $40 million home renovation? Make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Here comes the punchline. And what if I told you that these were the expenses of the Bishop of Limburg, Germany? Make sense to you? Rightly so. Bishop Tebartz von Elst, now also known as the Bishop of Bling, was shown the door by Pope Francis last week. Think that should happen? Right? And here is a complete contrast. Did you hear what the psalm was and what we just prayed? The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Folks, for third week in a row, today's gospel readings are all about prayer, all about faith, and all about a God who hears our prayer. Week before last, Sunday before last, I talked about healing. I don't know if you remember this or not. There are sometimes people get healed, sometimes they don't, but God is with us. Last week, I spoke to you about calling out to God in prayer, expressing our confidence in God. It was about persistent prayer, the story of the widow who came to the judge and kept pestering them. Today, we have another way of looking at prayer. So you have the Lord hears the cry of the poor, and then you have the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So today, I want to continue to talk about prayer, but I just want to talk about prayer, period. What is prayer? How can my prayer be meaningful? The three points that I have for you today, first, I want to talk about prayer as a union. I have in the past talked about prayer as a relationship. I've talked about prayer as a way of life. I've talked about prayer as communication. And every one of us has our own definition of what prayer is. Let me just spend some time with you to talk about prayer as a union. Let me begin with the human experiences of union. So, we think of relationships as human beings that are very deep. Friendship, a baby in the womb of the mother, donors, organ donors, blood donors, somehow my blood gets into someone else's body and gives life, or a part of the body, but none of these relationships are as deep as the relationship between spouses. That's the only relationship that we call a union, because it brings two people to come and give their life, their body, their soul, everything that they are, and enter into a life that then takes its own shape. It's truly a union. No other relationship is a union like the union between spouses. My point is that not even the union of a husband and wife captures the union that prayer is. In a marriage, there are two unique, equal, and mutually independent persons, right? Those of you who are married, it's between two equal people, two unique people. We don't try to change each other, and they are interdependent. In prayer too, there are two persons. There's God and there's me. But this is not a relationship of equals and interdependence like marriage is. There are two persons, but they are of unequal relationship. God is God and I am a creature. And the interdependence is one-sided. God is not dependent on me for God's existence, but I am completely dependent on God for my existence. Now, because this relationship is an unequal relationship, does not mean that I am robbed of my dignity. No. God's kindness, God's love, God's mercy makes up for this inequality, right? Now, here's a point I'm trying to make. Prayer happens when a completely dependent me, I'm completely dependent on God, when a completely dependent me and a kind and generous and unconditionally loving God enter into a union. I said earlier that in marriage, the union is between two equal, unique, and interdependent people, not in prayer. Not in our union with God. When I reach the end of my life, I should be ready to lose my identity, lose my uniqueness, lose my life. I have to completely lose myself to enter into this union with God. On that day, there will not be me. There will only be God. I will be me, but I will be so one with God, even deeper than a husband and a wife can be in union with each other. I am completely one. I will not be, I will only be in God, and that's the only union. Now that is perfect prayer. That is prayer in the most deep way that we can think of. Remember, Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Prayer. Prayer as a union. Secondly, I want to talk about prayer as poverty. Today's Psalm response says, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. So basing myself on the psalm, I want to say that prayer is prayer only, and yes, I'm saying only. Prayer is prayer only when it is the cry of a poor person. In all of Scripture, God has a special love for the poor. So you want to hear today's first reading? Sirach says, though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet God hears the cry of the oppressed. God has a special love for the poor. And in the Old Testament, it meant materially poor, not just spiritually poor, materially poor. And why? For the same reason that a parent pays more attention to a handicapped child over a self-sufficient child. If there are parents who have two children, and one of them you feel lacks and the other one is self-sufficient, a parent will always make sure that this child that needs help gets extra attention. God is the same way. God has a special preference for the poor. It's called a preferential option for the poor. The reason is a materially self-sufficient person has many avenues for help, but A genuinely poor person has no avenues for help but God. So you hear in today's second reading, Paul. This is a very sad reading, by the way. I don't know if you understood the context of this. Paul is writing this letter from prison to Timothy. And he says, at my first defense, not a single person turned up in his defense. Not a single person. Can you imagine? He spent his life for the gospel. He built all these communities, and when time came for trial, not a single person came in his defense. Can you imagine how hurt that must have been? But it gives us an idea of the poor person. Paul has no one in his defense except God. That is poverty. His prayer probably was so strong at that point. Now, how does this apply to us? See, many of us are self-sufficient people. We are people who have other avenues for help, unlike poor people. In the Gospel of Matthew, this is called the poverty of spirit. In today's Gospel reading, you have the tax collector and you have the sinner. The simple prayer of the tax collector, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner," had more power in God's eyes than the prayer of the tax collector, who had his fasting, his tithing, his righteousness to depend on. "Dear God, I am this, I am that." He has other things to depend on. Tax collector, he's nothing. He is poor. And his prayer had more power in God's eyes. In other words, folks, this is the point I'm trying to make. We must realize that when we stand before God, we are nothing and nobody. Listen, and I believe this. If you don't get to that point, prayer is not possible. When you stand before God, you have to realize you are nothing and you are nobody. If we are anything, children of God, very soon Connor will become a child of God. If this child becomes the child of God, it's because God makes him so. If we are in the image and likeness of God, it's only because God made us so. If God has blessed us materially, it's only because God has made us so. If you're good looking and you're talented, it's only because God has made us so. To be poor is to realize that everything, even the breath that you're taking right now, this breath you are right now breathing right now in church, that is not ours. It is God's. When we have reached the point where we realize that I am nobody and I have nothing without God, then you're ready for prayer. Then you're ready to take the first step in prayer. Prayer is poverty. Poverty is prayer. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. I wanted to make you aware of just one other reality when it comes to prayer. Genuine prayer always seeks union with God and union with one another. This is crucial. The Pharisee in the parable today, what did he say? "Oh God, I'm not like the rest of humanity." He's separating himself from people. He's cutting himself off from humanity. "Oh God, I'm not like the rest of humanity." What has he done? It's only between God and him. Leave the people behind. That is not prayer. Genuine prayer, on the other hand, attains union not only with God, but also strives for communion with humanity. So the only example that I can point to you is Jesus on the cross. See, I call the cross, the 3 hours that Jesus spent on the cross, I call this the perfect prayer. Why? Jesus on the cross dangles between heaven and earth. Neither heaven is his, neither is earth. He's dangling in between. He's hanging in between, right? But Jesus says from the cross, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. This is the prayer of the poor person. He has nothing. He's hanging on the cross and he longs for union with God. Dear God, into your hands I commend my spirit. He's in pain. He's abandoned by God and his disciples. And he has no one to depend on but God. On the other hand, all of humanity depends on him. Do you hear what I'm saying? He has nobody to depend on except God, but all of humanity depends on him. Depending on his action now will rest our salvation. And then Jesus, knowing that, he does not say, Dear God, I'm not like all these people who put me on the cross. He doesn't say that. Instead, he says, Father, forgive them. He reconciles, he builds communion on the cross. From the cross, when he has nothing, he's seeking for union with God. On the other hand, he's reconciling, building communion. And that is the most perfect prayer. The cross is the most perfect prayer. Christ on the cross is the most perfect prayer. If you want to pray, stand many times in front of the crucifix. Look at Jesus. And then long for what Jesus longed for. Union with God and communion with humanity. So prayer is a union. Prayer as poverty and prayer as building communion with God and with one. I think that's what the scriptures are saying to us today. Meanwhile, this is my conclusion. The bread and the wine is going to be placed on the altar, right? This is so beautiful. Jesus offers and takes us and offers us to God, but Jesus also gives himself to us. Till we are on the face of the earth, this is the most perfect prayer, the Eucharist. The cross is the example of prayer, but the Eucharist is how we live it out. We are the body of Christ, aren't we? But the body of Christ does not mean that I receive Jesus and now I'm the body of Christ. No, I receive Jesus and we are the body of Christ. We. Think about this week. Long for union with God, the deepest union, but do so as you bring other people with you. Become poor in spirit. People of God said,